Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Technology and great. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and of course, Tommy's sitting over there, and we're playing with new stuff.
We are. It threw me off. It was a different open.
It is. It's bizarre. And I usually take the 30 seconds while the open is running to actually think of the open. So that doesn't really work out. Here we are.
Here we are.
What's up, dude?
Not much. If you're listening on the podcast, nothing different happened until Jamie started talking. But we are playing with technology for our video recording. We changed to a different service for the last show, playing with it for this show. I think we like it, so I think we'll probably stick with it. But you just threw me off. It cracked me up.
I actually feel like this is going to be our first video show that probably doesn't suck, because at least right now, my video doesn't suck.
Yeah, it's the best that your videos looked in a long, long time. I'm excited about that.
I'm very excited about that. I'm cringing a little bit, because to make that work, we had to switch to the PC, which we've been using Mac so long that I just feel dirty even saying it, that we're recording anything on a Windows machine.
Yeah.
But we are, and it's because drivers don't suck.
That's fair. Doing production on a PC seems sacrilegious, but gaming's great, and so we still love
it.
But yeah. That said, hopefully the production's good for this show. So a few housekeeping things really quick on the show. We've got Diablo to talk about. We're going to talk a lot about Diablo because we both got to play the beta, and so we need to discuss that. And 12 minutes as well. We've got another game we got to discuss in there.
You probably got through that. I'd be curious to see what you have to say. I meant to play it the last couple of days, and I did not get to that. But I do have about a couple hours into it. I haven't got to the end, so I don't know how all that works.
Yeah.
But I have played. It's really cool. I can't wait to talk about that. We got to a lot to talk about as far as Diablo goes, and we have a big announcement right in the middle of the show.
We do, so, which is exciting. And Gamescom happened. And so we've got stuff from Gamescom to talk about. So we've got tons of news too. Lots of good stuff happening on the show today. It should be a fun one. So that said, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. And there's been lots of gaming going on, and we got to play Diablo, and that makes things better.
Yes.
And considering the state of the world, I have learned that it's very beneficial to reset your brain in a video game for a couple of hours, because if you don't, what's going on out there will get you down. So, I've been using video games as a crutch for about a month now to just not be depressed.
That's fair.
Because there's a lot of stuff going on. And real quick, before we get into the Fun Diablo stuff, I want to say we're praying for all our service members, all the people that are working around the world that have been through some wicked stuff this week. And for somebody that can't serve, I probably would have had I been able, but I have the utmost respect for those that work for me so I can sit here and run my mouth.
Sure.
That's what makes all this possible. Yeah. So we're thinking about those people.
For sure. Politics aside, I don't really care where anybody comes down on the politics or opinions of what's happening with Afghanistan and all that kind of stuff. I do hope we all agree that we want to see people being safe.
Absolutely.
Everybody getting out safely. Helped us over there. I mean, it's such a messy situation. And has been and will be. It's definitely not over being messy. So yes, continued prayers for everybody that's involved with
this. I've actually debated for 2 weeks whether to say anything, but it's really been bothering me because we always give our 2 cents on pretty much everything, and that applies to this. I just have to put that at the bare minimum, showing that I swear we won't be depressing anymore.
Yeah, it's actually like the last couple of shows we've done have had like just bummer things in it, and this one's like really pretty happy all the way through. So I'm really excited about that. That's a fun thing. That said, really quick, Patreon guys, let me mention, we talked a little bit about the video. If you want to see the video of the show, of course, you can do that over at the Patreon. Big thanks to Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew for your support. We appreciate it a ton. If you would like to support us on Patreon, you can do that by going to gamingUncensored.com, clicking that Patreon link there by the top of the page, and you can see us as well as listen to us if that's something
I've decided winter is coming. I gotta regrow the beard.
You should. Yeah
like we're improving things. I gotta regrow the beard.
Mine is about half of what it was. Mine's trimmed down a pretty good bit. I got it taken care of for the first time in quite a while. And so it's still a lot of beard, but it was a whole lot more beard before. And so, if you want to see the slightly cleaner cut, which is very slightly, it's really the shaved cheeks, right? Like that's the thing. Yeah. That's so weird.
That's bizarre.
Cause my beard hair grows up to like almost my eye. And so having like this whole spot right here being like shaved down is very bizarre to me. And so that'll all be back in a week. I'm not keeping that shaved down. But the whole beard trim looks pretty good.
The thing about the beard, neither you nor I have this problem. People always ask me whether I have a beard or whether I don't have a beard. The people that want me to have the beard wonder why I don't have the beard. And the people that don't want me to have the beard wonder why I don't shave every 5 minutes. Yeah. But the point of that is saying that neither one of us has issues growing facial hair.
Nope.
That's not a problem that we have. I can grow a beard in about 2 minutes if I really want to. So,
yeah, that's one of a few things maybe we have going on for. I don't know how much of a thing that is going on for us, but we've got that. We can hold on to that. Like,
I feel like there's a whole group of bearded people out there that should embrace us. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's fair. If body hair was some kind of superpower, I'd be in really good shape. Like,
absolutely.
I have not found a good use for it yet. It just it makes me sweaty, and it takes me forever to dry off after a shower. Like, sucks.
here's the thing that I'm gonna. Here's why I'm gonna regrow it, because I found it very handy last winter.
Yeah,
like It's very nice to have your face form.
Yeah.
Regardless of what's going on outside.
That's fair. Now, to be fair, I haven't not had a beard for 20 years, and so I don't really remember. But it is nice having it there. So.
Well, can I say that I've seen you without a beard, and it's a little weird looking.
It is strange. Like, yeah, I can't even imagine what it would look like now.
If I don't say this to toot my own horn, but I'm told repeatedly that I have a baby face, and being one of the only guys that's ever seen a picture of you without a beard, so do you without a beard.
Well, I did 20 years ago. Who knows at this point? That picture pops up on Facebook every once in a while, so be on the lookout on Facebook to see the beardless Tommy picture.
It's weird.
It's a whole different person.
You're like, isn't there a wedding photograph with you and your wife? I think you have a beard, but it's much less beard.
Yeah, it's more goatee at that point. It's facial hair, but it's not the full thing. It's the halfway point in there. So
I have to say that I don't know how we got off on beards, but I texted Spider right before the show, and we were talking about how the show goes off the rails sometimes. And we actually got an endorsement for the show going off the rails. He says that's why he listens. And here we are off the rails.
There you go. You're welcome,
Spider.
You're
welcome, buddy. Yeah.
All that said, we should talk about games because we have tons and tons to get through today. So big one, I think, that we both played. I've played a little bit more than I have. Still not a ton, but I've actually got three things to mention that we'll get to. But the first one that we definitely want to talk about and get some thoughts on is the Diablo II Resurrected Beta, which we both played. It feels like it is going to be what the game is. I mean, I don't imagine it's going to change much because the game releases in like 2 weeks, I think, a week and a half, something like that. And so it was pretty polished already. And so I would love to hear just kind of your thoughts of playing around with that a little bit.
Well, before I get into that, let me tell you that I wanted to know what was different with the Resurrected. I wanted to know what they changed. And so I texted you and I said I did something dumb and I reinstalled Diablo 2.
Yeah.
The original OG Diablo 2, because I own it with the Lord of Destruction content, all of that. And so I wanted to go back and see what was changed after I spent the weekend. And basically, it's that whole Blizzard thing that happened with Diablo 3, which was in the time that I played the beta, I ended up with more jewelry than anything else. Like, I had a stash full of, like, jewels and crap.
Yeah.
And with the original Diablo 2, what you end up with, I have a single-player game going right now that I'm playing offline because I don't want to mess with BlizzNet.
Right.
And I'll talk about that in a second. But the thing that is excessive in Diablo 2, the original, is gold. Like, the other stuff, it doesn't drop that often. You don't have that many. I'm the first act, and I have a few. Like, they're taking up some spots in my stash, but not like Resurrected. I mean, they're just everywhere in Resurrected. You're picking up a ruby, or you're picking up a sapphire, or you're picking up something all the time. And I hate it. I hate it. That said, Diablo 2, I'm halfway through the first act and I have like 40,000 gold at this point. So it's half a dozen of one, six the other.
Sure.
It's whatever you want to do, but that was my main thing, was that the drops are excessive, just like they are in Diablo 3. I played a little bit of Diablo 3 right after that, and that's just what Diablo 3 is.
Yeah.
And they did that with this. Other than that, pretty much everything is the same. I don't really have a huge amount of problem with it, other than the fact that it's $40. Like, we love Diablo. Like, it may be one of the greatest games ever made, because I'm playing it right now and it's still real good.
Yeah.
Like 30 years later.
Yeah.
But it's not $40 good.
Yeah.
Like when it goes to 20, I'm all over it.
Yeah. It definitely is a reskin. Right. Like, that's really all it is, that the gameplay may be tweaked just a little bit, but it's not significant. In fact, I don't know if you found it. There's a hotkey in Resurrected that you can hit to just switch it over to old school Diablo 2. Like, it you could actually run it like as old school Diablo 2 in the low resolution super, like. I was like, I just am curious to what it looks like. I was like, oh, this is a pretty significant upgrade, you know, like it's visually. It's G great.
Key, I think is what it was. Yep. G key, yeah. Yep.
Which is a cool feature, but also shows you that it really is just Diablo 2 running, right? Like, if you press the G key and you're just playing Diablo 2, like the original. Again, little tweaks here and there. There's a few nice things about it, but it's not a reimagined version of Diablo 2. It's a prettier version of Diablo 2, which there's nothing wrong with, but like you said, $40 for a reskin feels a little excessive.
And one thing that I did notice, that's a big deal that I didn't notice till like the day before yesterday, is that you can't have two loadouts in the original Diablo 2. Like, it doesn't exist, you know, like in the new games, right, in Path of Exile, you have the option to have two separate loadouts.
Right.
The original does not have that. They added that.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
That's nice. That's a very, one of those kind of just like modern comfort things. That's great.
Yeah. And they did several of those. But the biggest issue that I had, and I'm curious to hear from you, because your internet connection is way better, but can we be honest about Wiznet and the fact that it sucked back in the day, but nobody knew that it sucked because we were all on dial-up or really crappy internet that wasn't dial-up, and it still sucks today. Like, Wiznet does not like my internet connection. I got disconnected a ton, and I always knew when it was going to happen, because either my character would jump across the screen or hordes coming at me would jump across the screen. And that's just what happens with Wiznet. And I'm having a lot more, it sounds sacrilegious, but I'm having a lot more fun playing Diablo 2 off the net on my local computer than I was playing online with the potential of other people.
Yeah. I didn't run into those issues. I didn't play with other people, but that's one thing about playing Resurrected, is it is through Battle.net, and so you're online, and so it is reliant on that. But I didn't have any hiccups there. It's one of those things that, you're right, Blizzard's always had issues with, and so I'm not surprised to hear that. Yeah, I'm interested to see once it actually launches what the kind of stability there is. Obviously, I mean, you would think that it would have it at this point where it would be pretty solid between running World of Warcraft for 20 years or close to that at this point, right? And having Overwatch, which is this massive thing, and both of which are fully online experiences. But it is Blizzard, and Blizzard's always had a bit of an issue there. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
We like it. And if it goes to $20 or somebody wants to give us two copies, part of the reason that I'd started a character on Diablo 2 was I have not seen, but theoretically you can load up your character saves in Resurrection that you have from Diablo 2. And so I thought, hey, let's be real honest. At some point, you and I are going to have a copy of this. maybe 3 years from now.
Sure.
But we're going to have a copy of this.
Yeah.
And so I just decided, you know, it'd be nice to have a character that I've already been working on that I could just upload and start that way. And who knows that I'll actually do that, but we like it enough that if it falls in our lap, that's what we're going to play as opposed to the original. The other thing about the original with the extra content and all that, I was telling you on text, I don't know why we haven't had Diablo 2 permanently installed, because everything altogether is 1.88 gigs. That's it. Yeah. That's all Diablo 2 is. And so I saw that, I realized that, and I'm now thoroughly frustrated with myself. Why didn't I have this installed for when I just needed to bash something?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Which Resurrected isn't, I mean, it's obviously bigger, but it's not massive by any means. It's one of those ones that can definitely just live on your system. On PC, I still would have never played this on a console. But to each his own, I suppose, with Diablo. But yeah, it's a PC game through and through.
I did not realize till this week that Diablo 2 is available on Mac. But it is.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
So
there you go. It definitely scratches an itch, right? That we grew up with Diablo, and Diablo 3 was fine, and it was, you know, we played it and it was okay. I enjoyed the game. It was okay, but I never have been like tempted to go back to it. But Diablo 2, I've gone back to many times. Like, it's one of those games that we go back to over and over. And so now having a reason to go back with an updated look and some ease of life issues in the game makes all the sense in the world. Again, once it comes down from $40, not $40 worth that, but good. So excited about that. So
I'd pay 10, I'd pay 20. I ain't paying over that.
Yeah. I think I agree there. So that said, the other game that we both played is 12 Minutes. If you remember 12 Minutes, we've seen at E3 a couple years now. It's this top-down time loop game that revolves around a couple that they've got big names coming in to do this. And now I'm totally blanking on the names.
Willem Dafoe is one of them.
Willem Dafoe is one of them. What's the guy that plays Professor X, young Professor X? He's, I'm going to look up the names here in just a second. But anyway, they brought in big name talent to do it. It had a lot of hype. It's kind of revolves around a kind of murder mystery ish. Something's happened. You've got to figure it out. You've got 12 minutes essentially in this time loop, and then it resets, and you're living the life of this guy trying to figure out in this situation. You're in a room in your apartment with your wife, and then a cop comes knocking on the door and asking a bunch of questions. I don't know how spoilery we're going to get in this conversation.
I don't care. If you want to get spoiled, sure, that's fine.
Just be aware as you're listening forward that we may get, at least we won't spoil everything here, but we'll get a little spoilery. So you've had your warning at this point. All that said, it was one that you and I were both looking forward to. Both times it popped up, you know, kind of E3, we're like, ooh, that's really interesting. And now it's on Game Pass, and so we didn't have to even pay anything for it. And so we've got a bit of time to spend with it. And I really wanted to like it a lot. It feels like my kind of game and something that it seems like I would be into. And it was okay, but it just lacked a lot of polish to me for as much hype as it had, right? Like, it just came in with a lot of, because they had these big name people coming in and had been pumping it up, and I just, yeah, it was fine. So by the way, just really quick, the other two people are James McAvoy. That's who I was missing his name.
Right.
That was Professor X and did other stuff. And Daisy Ridley. Daisy Ridley is the wife in it, which Daisy Ridley, for crying out loud, right? And so James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, and Willem Dafoe are the people in this game, which are huge names, great name people. And the acting specifically to me just fell really flat.
Yeah.
I just wasn't impressed by it at all.
And the fact that, because at least for the first part of the game, you're going around the apartment trying to, because you only have 12 minutes and then the thing resets. And so you're going around the apartment trying to find all of the stuff that you're going to need to get through this before it resets, because then you got to go get it all again. And it's really annoying when the wife is like trying to talk to you and you're trying to move. And it's like they didn't script any of that in. Like, you can either have a conversation or you can move. You can't do both.
Right.
And it's really, it makes it really hard. And also, you and I talk a lot about the limited time that we have. And this is not by any stretch a long game. I mean, like, it's a 12-minute loop. However, I put 90 minutes in it, or maybe a little more than 90 minutes, maybe a couple hours, and the whole I don't know what to do thing was really over with after the second loop. Like, they don't give you any hints. They don't talk to you about anything. You're just there, you know, and you're, like, digging around. And like, I know that's supposed to be cool, it's like an escape room, but I don't know that I have time to figure this out.
Right.
I'm sure it'll be awesome when I figure it out, but I don't know that I have time to keep going through this loop.
Yeah.
and playing with things. And maybe I'm vastly overstating, you tell me, but there's literally nothing. They just...
Yeah,
you definitely
have to dig, and I work through. There's multiple endings, and so I work through what I figure is a decent. And I don't know, who knows. I went and looked up a little bit about it, but I honestly fairly well lost interest by the time I was done with it. You know, it just didn't captivate me for as long as it should have. The thing with, if you're doing a time loop game, you gotta keep the time loop interesting, you know? And after doing it enough times, because you essentially, you know, you get to the end, just start over on the loop. And once you get past the kind of first couple of times, there's like a pattern of things you have to redo each time. And at the end, it kind of changes a little bit to progress the story further. And then you reset the loop and you have to do the same kind of sequence of things to get to the end, to do something a little bit different. And you have to do that several times before you get to like a breaking point where like it's different from the beginning of the loop, if that makes sense. That
right.
You kind of, you know. And once you do that a few times, you're like, this is kind of boring, you know? Like, I'm not looking forward to playing through this same thing. It just, the pacing just felt off to me. The like, there were little things with the script about, like, the first time you play through it, you find out the end. So getting a little spoilery here, but this is, you know, 12 minutes into the game tops, right? This first loop, you find out that, like, this cop comes knocking on your door that's saying your wife killed her dad. And you're like, what the crap is going on here? And so the next time through, you can like confront your wife about this and say, hey, what, tell me the story about your dad. What happened to your dad? How did he die? Or why are you lying to me and all this stuff? And you can really upset your wife. Like, you can get her to the point that she's really pissed. But then like the not story scripting, the like filler scripting, doesn't change. And so you can still have like these conversations with her where she's not pissed after like you've just accused her of killing her dad, essentially. And then you're like, oh, like, let's have dessert. And she's like, oh, you know, whatever. And like, it's just like, there's just, if you're gonna do this big kind of branching multiple choice time loop thing, you gotta execute it a little bit better where there's not these big gaping holes where you have Daisy Ridley, who's this great actress who, like, it's not just performance that's the issue, it's the scripting that's the issue that just falls really flat because it has these big plot holes to it.
And Sam is screaming at us as he's listening to this, because like, Sam's actually the guy on the Facebook page that made me download it. He's like, you gotta try this. And so I went and got it, And he's literally screaming at us right now because I know. But it, the thing that really frustrates me is, and I don't think this is too spoilery, but I got it to the point where I got the wife convinced not to open the door.
Yeah.
Right? And she's like, cool, I'm not going to open the door. And you were right. There's a cop. Holy crap, that's weird. And then the cop just, like, walks in.
Right.
And I was like, is there a spare key or something out there that I'm missing? Like, that's a locked freaking door?
Yeah.
Is there a warrant? Or, like, this is not 1945. Yeah. Like, you can't just, like... That made no sense because you go through this whole thing of, babe, don't open the door. And she doesn't open the door. And she goes in the kitchen to like hide or whatever. Dude just walks in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I mean, come on.
Yeah. There's just a few of those things that made it just like, yeah, you go, you can suspend disbelief so far, right? But then at some point you're like, okay, like this is just, you know, and I had a couple of those moments with the game, which just kind of brought it down. But I'll say this about it. Like if, and this is maybe my fault, but if it hadn't been hyped the way it was, you know, like that we had seen it a couple of times at E3 and they made a big deal about James McAvoy and Daisy Ridley and Willem Dafoe in it. And it just popped up on Game Pass, and say Sam had posted on Facebook, hey, you guys just really got to check this out without any kind of preconceived notion of what it was. I think I probably would have enjoyed it a little bit more. Like it still would have had all the holes or whatever. But if I wasn't like thinking, oh, hey, these are like famous actors, world-class actors that should be better vocal performers than this, I think I probably would have enjoyed it a little bit more. I just had these expectations that the game didn't meet. And so that was part of what let me down on it. That said, it's not a bad game and it's on Game Pass. So if you have Game Pass, go play it. It takes, you know, a couple of hours to really get through it, depending on how much you are capable of doing in those loops. Cause you do have to hustle. It gets to the point that you have to do a lot in that 12 minutes. And it's, again, it's all the same thing. And so you're like, oh, okay, click, 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 click. Okay, now I got something new. Okay, now I'll do it again. Click, 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 click. And it's just, you're like, ah.
And there's no, and I understand the point because the name of the game is 12 minutes, but there's no way to stop the clock. Like, there's no way to, like, okay, I need to take a minute and think about this.
Right.
And one of the things that I found that I know is a reasonable part of this plot is her phone in the closet. But even you know, after doing the loop a couple of times and knowing what's going to happen, like, I can't talk to her and move fast enough to get the phone to figure out what I'm supposed to do with it. And then you got the cake in the fridge. And I mean, like, it's just, you're right, it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't have time to run a loop 40 times. I just don't.
Yeah. And there's time dependent things in the loop that you can't speed up, like you're saying. And so like for a little bit, I'm like, okay, hurry up. Let me get to the stuff that I need to do because you're waiting for this thunderclap to happen. You know, like there's a key moment when this thunder happens. And so you got to wait for that to happen. I'm like, well, can we just move that up and I can do a few more things in the post thunderclap? It's, you know, again, it's not bad if you got Game Pass and you got some time to kill, like play it. It's really interesting and it's a cool like game mechanic, but execution wise, it leaves something to be desired.
I'm excited to see who rips this off and what they do with it.
Can I say really quick? So the other big time loop game that we know is coming that's much, much bigger, big AAA title is Deathloop. That a whole bunch of people got their hands on it, that they did a media, you know, kind of hands-on thing with it where a bunch of people in gaming media got to play it. And my Twitter timeline just on one day was just wall to wall, all of these gaming people who got to play Deathloop and say it's awesome, which is so encouraging to hear that apparently the people who have been able to get hands on with Deathloop really, really thoroughly enjoyed it. And so that's a very different kind of time loop game, a big arcane action adventure thing, Dishonored-ish time loop game. But apparently that's really good, and I'm really, really excited about that one, and more so after hearing such kind of positive feedback from people who actually got to play it. So one more let me mention, because I haven't told you this yet, and I don't know if you've noticed it. I've been playing one other game, which is Ghost of Tsushima, which is
holy no!
Yeah, I meant to text you a couple of times. I just hadn't got around to it. I don't have a ton of time in it, but it's there on YouTube for you when you're ready for it. So.
I know what I'm doing. Forget 12 minutes. I ain't doing that.
Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima is a much better game. I feel pretty confident with. So that's one we will be talking about, I would imagine, on the next show quite a bit when I get a little more time in it and Jamie sees it. So, yeah. That said, it's time for the big announcement for the show before we get into Gamescom news, which we are super excited about. We have a partner sponsoring the podcast, which is super cool. And so I'll mention really quick who they are. Jamie got us this connection through some personal experiences, so I'll let him talk about it, and we'll go through their stuff here in a bit. But this is Feels, F-E-A-L-S, Feels. They are a CBD provider. If you need CBD oil, this is the place to get it from. It's fantastic. And they're super cool on top of everything else. So, tell us a little bit about how you got connected with them.
So I know you're saying to yourself, there's CBD everywhere. You can get it. You know, like you can walk across the street and pick right. some CBD up. But what makes these guys different, and what actually got us this promotional setup, they're actually advertising on the show for the next 4 months because their customer service is ridiculous. And when I say it's ridiculous, I mean it's Amazon ridiculous. And if you've ever dealt with Amazon customer service, it's that good. Like, I started talking to these people because I have cerebral palsy. My mom has rheumatoid arthritis. And I don't really talk about it on the show because Jamie Jordan's invincible. But I have pain. I have issues. You deal with me when we're not on the air. That's the thing. And we always look forward to when we're together. Hey, we're gonna, you know, drink a bottle of bourbon. That there's a reason for that. Sure. Like I have issues. And CBD has been a huge help. And what, like I said, what really sold us on these guys was that I ordered some product for my mom, and I had a question, and they literally spent the better part of 2.5 days just talking to me. And I started out in email, and after about the third email, Stefan, the guy that I was dealing with, says, "This is stupid, bro. Can I just call you?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's awesome," because I'm handicapped and I type with one finger. And it was just a really awesome experience. They really want to help you figure out how to make CBD work for you. And I just really love the way they go about things. It's the customer service makes all the difference. Plus, they're very interested to know how the product is working for you. And here we are for 4 months. And here's the big deal for you guys. 4 months means we're going to be here and you're going to see us on a regular basis. But I really want you guys to try this out. We've got a promo code for you. And right now, I can't remember what it is. So I'm going to throw it to Tommy and let him tell you about that. Yeah. But if you use this promo code, they will hook you up with 50% off on your first order. And that's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Let me just piggyback on a couple of things there. That it really has been a great experience working with him. One of the things we joke all the time about how we'll sell our soul for somebody on this show. But we really, Jamie and I have talked forever about the fact that if we have sponsors, we want to have sponsors that have a product that we believe in and care about. And we've never had anything on the show that wasn't that way. Anytime we've had sponsors has been stuff that we really feel is great, and we really feel like this is great. I didn't have a lot of experience with CBD personally, but the Sexy Sidekick has been using CBD oil for quite a while, just to help with anxiety and stress. That's one of the great things about it. It's really kind of multi-purpose. It does a lot of things. And personally, just with work, I've taken on a second job, as we talked about recently. The anxiety level over here has ramped up. Sleeping with a 3-year-old is difficult. And so I had tried CBD once or twice in the past and didn't really care about it. But, you know, obviously going to try it again now. And it just happened at the right time. And so we got some in the mail a few days back. Tried it out and just got like a killer night's sleep that I was like,
yes,
this is crazy. Like, it's surely, you know, that's, you know, like it's in my head or whatever. But the Sexy Sidekick, who has also been taking CBD for quite a while and not feel CBD, but has been using a different product, you know, tried the feel CBD too. And she had the same experience where she's like, this is like different level stuff. Like, this is really, really good. Like, this is helping me in the ways that like what I've been taking hasn't. And you know, it's a tincture. And so what that means is you get this little dropper and you can put it like under your tongue is the way they suggest. By the way, what Jamie was saying, they just are big on kind of education. They even have a free hotline you can call and talk to them about like dosage and that kind of stuff, which is
brilliant. And seriously, just on the hotline and the people that you deal with, these are real people that use the product. And when I say I talked to them for 2 days, I had multiple of them call me. And Stefan is the guy apparently in charge that we found out today. Right. He's in charge of the customer service. But Bella and Ellie and everybody else over there, they're all great people. And I actually am not sure. I can look this up. But they sent us a brochure of stuff that we needed to know before we started working here, and we just got out of the meeting, and the lady was like, there's some stuff of a podcast host, and I was like, yeah, I think that's me. So, they're great people. It's a great company. We're really excited.
Yeah, it's really easy to use. The ones that I've used in the past just like left this awful taste in my mouth. This didn't do that. Like, it just very, very clearly is a different level. Just they care a lot about the product. They're all very much believers in it. And we are now too. It's really, really great. So that said, here's what you need to do. If you want to start feeling better with Feels, go to feels.com, FEALS.com. /GU podcast. That's the promo code for the show. GU podcast should be easy to remember. That'll get you 50% off your first order. As Jamie was saying, we'll also get you free shipping. It's totally worth it. And this is the thing. If you've been thinking about wanting to try CBD, but you're not sure if it's a good fit for you, or if it just, honestly, if that price was a little bit intimidating, which it can be, use this code, get 50% off. You get to try it out and see if it works for you. I like I said, I've really been surprised of how well it's worked for me. I've gotten better sleep the last, you know, half a week that I've been taking CBD before I go to sleep at night than I have in a long time. And that's huge.
Let me just say, on the price, for anybody that wants to try it out, not only will you get 50% off, but they have different products with different strengths that are different prices. And if you just want to try it out, the best way to try it out is the flight, which is $20. It has all the strengths in one package, and you try these three strengths and you figure out what works for you. We're talking about $20.
Yeah.
It's they make it easy to get in. And of course, like I said, with my issues, I'm using the strongest stuff that they got, and that's a little more expensive, but it's totally worth it. And I was going to mention on the sleep, we don't talk about it really, but you and I both have sleep issues. We don't sleep because we have the same kind of mind. We're always working. I look, I sleep better with CBD than anything else.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
And this stuff is super, super high quality.
And you wake up feeling great. There's no kind of morning like hangover effect or anything like that. Like it doesn't leave you groggy or anything. Yeah. We really like it. So you're going to hear about it a lot. Just be prepared for that. But one more time, we'll get into Gamescom stuff. That's Feels, FEALS.com/GU podcast. We win, you win, they win. Everybody comes out of this happy. And so we're super excited about it.
Very, very excited. And let me tell you, the way that you win, we are now committed to do 12 shows for the next 4 months.
Yeah.
Okay? That's 3 shows a month for the next 4 months. We haven't done 3 shows in 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, that doesn't happen. Now we're committed. Like, we signed a contract.
Yep.
So, you guys need to go spend some money with these guys because they're literally making us be on the air for the next 3 months, at least 3 hours a month.
There you go.
So,
yeah, send them some love. It keeps us going. Everybody wins. It's a good deal.
Yes.
So, all that said, let's talk about Gamescom really quickly before we get to the end of the show. Lots of announcements from Gamescom, as you would imagine. We'll hit a couple of the big ones. First is something that we really thought we were going to see at E3, and it didn't come to fruition at E3, but we got it here, and that's the Marvel XCOM, which is called Marvel's Midnight Suns. It is the designer of XCOM that's doing this, but with Marvel characters. The ones that we saw, what I really enjoyed about this is that it's not just the kind of MCU characters that we're all familiar with, though, like Iron Man was there, Captain Marvel was there. But it's also Blade was part of it. Wolverine was part of it, which Wolverine, like the whole X-Men thing of living in a different world than MCU has always been confusing to me. Whatever, I don't care. This is not MCU. This is a game. So Wolverine's there. Ghost Rider is part of it. Like it's a little bit of a different slate of Marvel characters, while still being familiar to like everybody that's gotten into Marvel because of the MCU. And so it's both like, to me, it's a little bit nostalgic because I think of all those other Marvel characters really from my childhood, where the MCU has been more of my adult life. But like Wolverine's my favorite X-Men, my favorite Marvel character. And so having
with
Wolverine
the blue
in the
yellow,
game.
That Wolverine.
Right. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I dig it a lot. And the idea of like XCOM with Marvel characters sounds super fun.
I think it's gonna be a blast. I really like. I have XCOM. I never finished it. It's one of those that I put a ton of time in, and then I moved on to something else because again we have time issues.
Right.
But the fact of the idea of this being in the Marvel Universe kind of ramps it up for me.
Because,
I mean, you can do it. You can actually play with the characters you love, and I love that idea.
I do, too. I really dig it. So that was one of the big announcements. Another big announcement was Saints Row is getting rebooted.
if yes, you were like, it is.
We need Saints Row back. Here you go. And so this is new Saints Row. This is not a what were they on? I think they were on 4. This isn't Saints Row 5. This is Saints Row rebooted. For better or for worse, I'm really interested in your thoughts on this. So full disclosure here, I never really got into Saints Row.
Nope.
It was like Grand Theft Auto that was trying to be more ridiculous than Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
And I was always like, Grand Theft Auto's enough ridiculous, you know? Like, whenever they got into, like, you're the president and there's aliens coming and that guy, like, I just couldn't do it. Like, it just never really appealed to me. I played a little bit of, I don't remember which one, but where you had, like, turf wars and like you could take over territory with your gang and that kind of stuff, and it was fine, but I love Grand Theft Auto so much that Saints Row just never really did it for me.
Saints Row is GTA on mushrooms.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like that's what happens if you take Grand Theft Auto and you have it take some mushrooms. That's what Saints Row is.
Yes.
Right. And I have been really, really busy. And I didn't even know the Gamescom was happening until I booted up the Epic Store and Saints Row 4 was available for free. And I'm like, well, crap, I got to pick that up.
Sure.
Like, even if I never play it, like, yep, got to have that for free. And then I found out this reboot was happening. I'm still not that interested in Saints Row, but you, like, you know.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not? I think that's a good call. And so let me say the Saints Row reboot is what I would say is a toned down version of Saints Row. So to go back to your analogy, if Saints Row was Grand Theft Auto on mushrooms, this is like Grand Theft Auto, like microdosing, right? Like it's still over the top, but it's like less over the top. And so it's they've changed a lot of stuff to maybe, I don't know, maybe make it more approachable to somebody like me who just wasn't into that original kind of way over the topness. But also, and let me say where I think this might be brilliant right now. There is a massive hole due to the fact that Grand Theft Auto 6 hasn't been announced yet. We don't know when it's coming. It's probably still a couple of years away, that there's this big lull in Grand Theft Auto since Grand Theft Auto 5 came out. Now, to be fair, Grand Theft Auto Online is still thriving as a huge thing. They're about to release Grand Theft Auto 5 again on current-gen consoles, so it'll be the third console generation that Grand Theft Auto 5 gets released for. That said, I want something new that is kind of like Grand Theft Auto. Watch Dogs is kind of that way, and I have not gotten into Watch Dogs Legions yet, but whenever it comes on sale pretty heavily discounted, I'm definitely going to pick it up because there's an itch I want to scratch there, right? We talked about Diablo scratching an itch. There's this kind of Grand Theft Auto itch. And even though, like, watching this new Saints Row trailer, I was kind of like, I don't really care about these characters. Like, we're old, and I'm feeling that more and more because these are, like, cool young characters. And I'm like, eh. Right. There's nothing about these that are really appealing. And yeah, I still kind of want to play this game just because there's this missing piece of, like, no new Grand Theft Auto for so long. And this might be at least a decent itch to that scratch until we, or scratch so, to that itch until we get to actual new Grand Theft Auto.
So a couple things on Legion is going to make you laugh based on what you just said. I wasn't really sure what to think about that. And then this thing happened and Avery came and we started watching Smallville on Hulu, talking about nostalgia stuff. I've been watching Smallville for the last 2 weeks. Smallville is great, and it also has the biggest crush on an actress that I've ever had in my life, in Lana Lang. Because I'm a child, after watching the first season of Smallville, I decided to look and see what she's doing now. And she's an actress in Watch Dogs Legion.
Nice.
And so as well as a bunch of other video games. So I'm excited to play that now because I'm still like way into her.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
And so back to Saints Row for a quick second. Like, at this point, and you and I talked about it last week, there's no real major AAA games out there that we have to have, that we have to upgrade for. Those games aren't there, but we have a whole lot of software that's really, really good. And I can see that Saints Row reboot or whatever you want to call it being one of those titles.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. I think there's definitely something to that. Is it could just fill in a hole. Now, let me preface that by saying we do have release dates on these things I just mentioned, plus a couple others that are really important that came from Gamescom. So the Marvel's Midnight Suns is March, so not far right away. The Saints Row one is actually February 25th, 2022. Keep that date in mind because I'm going to tell you why you're not going to be playing, or we're not going to be playing Saints Row because of a game that is right now scheduled to release a week earlier than that. But before that one, let me mention Halo. Halo Infinite. So Microsoft had a big deal at Gamescom. Halo Infinite got a release date, which is December 8th. They've got to get it out this holiday season. That's one that I just They will put it out broken on December 8th. If
they're in deep trouble.
Yeah. That one.
They have to have it out.
I'm always skeptical about release dates. I would be shocked if they don't get this within a week. You know, like they might push it back a week because there's some catastrophic bug that they want to try to fix before pushing it out. But that's going to be a pretty solid release date. But the other game we got a release date for is Horizon Forbidden West. That's February 18th.
Yeah.
So Saints Row, like, cool, but sorry. You're not getting that attention for a little while.
Horizon is that AAA game. Yes. And I can tell you that because I'm playing Horizon. I hope that it won't happen, but I really, really wish that it would simultaneously release on the PC.
Sure.
They've said that it's coming. That it will be on the PC. We just don't know when. I'll tell you right now, I'm waiting to play it on the PC because the PC port of the original is just so good.
Yeah.
But I will play this. It will get all of my time.
Yeah.
Because the Horizon's just so good.
It's so good. I will not wait for it on PC. We will be playing it earlier than that on PlayStation for sure. So that's a big one. That's super exciting. There's a bunch of other game announcements that were, you know, not quite as big of a deal. They talked about the Death Stranding director's cut. New Call of Duty got a lot of play. Call of Duty Vanguard, which is kind of horror-ish. I don't know. Like, it's different, which is cool, I guess. I just still don't have any interest. But Laura Bailey is the main character in it, apparently. Of course, of so many different things, but The Last of Us most recently. And so it's Call of Duty. It's big AAA title. It's going to be a huge deal. But I just still can't get myself to care about it. But hey, maybe if it gets really, really great reviews.
Well, we're too old. Like, I just don't.
It's just not my thing. I honestly don't wish it was. I've got enough other games to play and so little time to do it. So really quick, couple other things before we wrap for the day. Nintendo, according to a rumor, is looking to expand the Switch Online service that currently has NES and SNES games, which is awesome if you want to go play some nostalgia. Like, especially the SNES one just has everything good, like all the Nintendo first party stuff that's good on it. They are apparently going to expand that with Game Boy and Game Boy Color titles soon. And so you get the NES Virtual Console, the SNES Virtual Console, and now a Game Boy and Game Boy Color Virtual Console, which will be super cool. And we've talked about it on the show before. These are a generation of games, handhelds, that I just missed because I just never had a Game Boy when I was young. And so there's so many titles on there that are really good that I never played because I didn't have a Game Boy. And we've gone back and revisited some of this era stuff via emulators. obviously not the most legal thing to do. And it's been a while since we've done that.
Don't steal, kids!
That's right.
Don't steal!
But that world does exist out there, though. There's news a week or two ago of Nintendo shutting down a big one again. California, if I recall this correctly, this is not in the show notes, but if I recall correctly, the judge not only ordered them to shut down the website, but to destroy all, like, drives or servers or whatever that contained any of these ROMs. Like, they had to, like, literally blow it all up. And so, not playing around on the
image. I look. Here's the thing. I can't believe I'm about to say this. But when I saw that, I'm like, okay, can you be a little less excessive?
Yes.
Like, I understand that Nintendo is worried about their IP. I get it. We talked about it a week ago that you know, this happened to us and I got really frustrated. So I get it. But at the same time, like, I don't care who you are or how much money you spend, how many lawyers you got, you're not going to kill it all.
Yeah.
You're just not. And if I want to go get something illegally, I can go get something illegally, and I can do it in a way that nobody's ever going to catch me.
Yeah.
And so, like, Nintendo totally has the right to do this. They should do this. But they gotta understand you're not gonna get it all. And I think it's kind of stupid to try.
Yeah. That just reminded me of another story I saw that was also not in the show notes, but I just pulled it up because it's on the exact same thing. And again, I get why, like you were saying, Nintendo wants to protect its intellectual property. And this is one of the reasons that Nintendo's stuff is so good, is because they do protect it so much. But there was a fan-made remake of Metroid Prime, but done in 2D instead of 3D. So a la like Super Metroid style, but
the nice. Metroid,
right. Except for Nintendo found out about it and sued them and shut it down. So it's like, oh, I want that. And the guy that was putting it together has been forced to shut it down. Now, whether or not somebody else could pick it up or if the code is out, I don't know. There's all kinds of questions like that. But there was a demo and the demo's now gone, apparently. That said, that's actually a really, really good segue into a couple other news stories that we had of how companies take a similar thing to this and do the right thing as opposed to what Nintendo's usual response is, which is shutting it down. And so we've talked
Valve normally hires people.
Exactly. That's the solution, that's right? And do. That's yeah. So we talked about Fallout London on the show, which is a mod. Well, Bethesda got a hold of this, you know, saying, hey, here's this dude modding our game and doing something really cool. And they hired him. Like they pulled the guy into their staff. And so the guy that is doing Fallout London now works for Bethesda, which is exactly what they should do in these situations. Instead of shutting it down, they're like, this is awesome. Now, to be clear, modding Fallout isn't illegal. Like this guy wasn't doing anything illegal. Doing the remake of Metroid Prime is outside the terms of what Nintendo allows. And so that is illegal. But this is the way to do it.
Let me just say this. If the guy had not done what he did and made it available on the internet, said, hey, look at this, Nintendo would have not ever taken this guy. They would have, like, you can say, well, he could submit it, he could do all the stuff to get hired. No.
Yeah.
No. The only way that happens is if the world notices whatever you're doing and goes, okay, yeah, this is cool.
Yeah.
And so, like, You can be hardcore if you want, but for crying out loud, somebody hired this guy because let's be honest about Metroid. Metroid got some issues. At least Metroid right now got some issues. We're hoping that some of that changes with the new Metroid. But like Prime's good, Prime's not great. Right? Like, Prime's really good as a Metroid game, but yeah. Prime's not great.
The original is great. Like, let's be clear. The original Metroid Prime is phenomenal. A couple of the sequels aren't as good.
Yeah.
And they put out Other M, which was, you know, kind of mediocre. They've not put out consistently awesome games in the franchise. But also, they just haven't put out games in the franchise for a long time, right? Like, there's just not been much at all happening in Metroid World for a long time. Now, of course, there is something coming right around the corner. The new Metroid is coming in October, I believe. There's a new trailer for that out as well. Go check that out because it's awesome. But yeah, maybe, you know, the timing might have been a little unfortunate because Nintendo is doing a Metroid push right now. But I don't think so. Nintendo just does this. Anytime there's something like this that they get a whiff of, like it's auto shutdown mode. And it is a little of a shame because me as a massive Metroid fan would have jumped all over this. I would have been thrilled to check this out. And it's not going to deter me from buying Metroid games from Nintendo, right? Like, it's only going to increase your fan base if you want more people to go buy Metroid Dread. The best thing you can do is get more people to know about Metroid. And then so if somebody puts out a fan-made title that's good and gets some hype and people like it and they go buy Dread, then that's beneficial to you. And I just don't see it working the other way where somebody's going to go pick up the fan-made version of this and go, oh, I don't really like this, so now I'm not going to buy Metroid Dread when I was otherwise going to. Like, what's it going to take away from Nintendo? Well, like, what are they losing in this situation? Like, it's just, yeah. Well, I get it, but it's dumb.
I say again, we totally understand protecting IP. because we've had to do it.
Sure.
We totally get it. But you can go a little insane about it.
Yes.
And Nintendo does that.
Yes.
And they have for a long time. I mean, for crying out loud, Portal probably would not have happened if Valve hadn't said, hey, come work for us.
Right.
Like, that's a great example of stuff that they do. That's the way it needs to happen, because let's face it, the gaming industry is not such a juggernaut that you don't need to hire new people with better ideas than what you currently got.
Yeah.
Like, you just, when one of those people comes along, you need to hire them, period.
Yeah, for sure. CD Projekt Red is doing the same thing. I'll mention this really quick. There's obviously a big modding scene for Cyberpunk as well. Cyberpunk, a game that notoriously needs some help. CD Projekt Red very wisely is going out and hiring these modders to come in and work on the game directly, as opposed to working on it indirectly. And
that's so awesome.
Yeah, just that's the way to do it. And again, it's a little different with the mod community. We get that. It's not apples to apples, but it's pretty close. And Nintendo can do it better.
And can I be honest about Cyberpunk? If they're doing that, in about 2 years, Cyberpunk's going to be real good. Yes, and I'm going to want to play it. So,
oh, man, what other story? I keep forgetting things that like I've seen that should have been in the show, and they're not. One more mod story I have to bring up, because what that made me think, what you just said, in 2 years, Cyberpunk's going to be great, is like Skyrim. Now, Skyrim was pretty great when it came out. But Skyrim is a game that has gotten increasingly better because of the mod community, right? There is somebody that put out a mod that is on Nexus Mods. That's like a you know, super popular Skyrim mod right now that's called No Skyrim, that intentionally just crashes your game during the opening scene on the back of the wagon going in, so you can't play it, which I thought was great. Just this very meta about Skyrim when we're about to get yet another re-release of Skyrim around the corner. But Skyrim is a game that is fantastic on its own, but just made better by mods. And yeah.
Yeah, I Cyberpunk will be great because of people like that.
Yes, absolutely.
And I hate that I have to wait, but that's okay.
Yeah, for sure. Really quick, couple of releases to mention. So the Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut, I think we mentioned that on the last one, but that's officially out. An 88 on Metacritic, which seems pretty solid. Quake Remastered, which is getting really good reviews, is out. And then maybe the biggest release since the last time we did a show is Psychonauts 2, also out, also on Game Pass, which is cool. Has a 91 for the Xbox One version and 87 for the Xbox Series X version, which is interesting that it's 4 points higher on the previous generation console than the current generation console, which I don't know what the difference there is. That said, Psychonauts 2 has been getting great reviews kind of all over the place, and so
surprise.
Right. Yeah, nothing shocking there. So yeah, go check those out. Go check out the show notes, gamingcensored.com. Believe it or not, we got through basically everything in the show notes, but if you haven't seen the trailers and stuff from Gamescom, you can find them over there in the show notes, and they're worth seeing for sure.
Holy cow, man, that must be the CBD.
That's right.
Seriously.
Thank you, Feels.
We got through the entire thing.
Better
Thank
focus.
Thank you, Feels.com. That's really cool.
/GU podcast.
/GU podcast, 50% off, and they're not even paying us to say this.
That's right.
So yeah, I'm feeling good. We're gonna have a lot of fun the next few months. A lot of stuff coming up. A lot of fun stuff in the future here, and I'm really excited. I know you are too. And of course, y'all know where all of our fan stuff is. You gotta go check out the Facebook page. We say it every show, but you gotta go check out the Facebook page, because I got slammed after the last show. People arguing with me about AMD.
Yep.
And they're still arguing. Like, I just stopped talking because they're still arguing. So you gotta go check that out. You got to check out the Twitter. You've got to just go see what's going on with all our stuff. Hey, babe, how are you? You look fabulous. Really? You're wearing a shirt that says be happy. You can't do that. Are you ready to help us finish it?
Do you remember what you said? Do you
know how to help us finish it?
I don't know.
You do know.
I don't.
I bet Jamie will tell you.
Say, we're Gaming Uncensored and we're out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.